What is up, everyone? We are back for episode 106 of the Gamecast. I am one of your hosts, Kenny, and with me is Tess.
Hello, everybody.
And yeah, we've decided to take a break. A nice long break because we needed it for health reasons.
Yeah.
Personally, I needed it because I didn't realize that I was burnt out. For the people who like follow me, you know that I've been doing a lot of written work for different places. And while it might not look like that, I guess, in terms of how often I'm posting things, it's mainly because a lot of the articles that I write don't come out the same day that I write them. Like, I'll write about something and then it'll go through the editing process and eventually it'll come out after the embargo lifts for whatever. Mm-hmm. And then you'll see it. So you might see a bunch of posts and then nothing and then a bunch of posts and then nothing. But I actually wrote it all at the same time. And so or around the same time. So, for instance, I was talking about on a couple of podcasts ago how we had multiple things coming up that were lined up where I was reviewing different films and stuff like that. And one of them talked to me, actually. It was really dope because I got a screener invite. So I actually went to the theater to watch that and then write my review. And I was doing that in the midst of writing my They Clone Tyrone review, in the midst of writing my Sonic Prime review. And so, like, it kept going. And which is good, because I had a goal, and one of those goals was to be, accredited on Rotten Tomatoes, but not accredited in the sense where I was before, where if I write for like IGN, my stuff automatically goes up there because of the site. Whereas now, it doesn't matter where I write, as long as I wrote it, it goes on the site.
Yeah.
You dig? So, and that happened. I was super excited. I was like, yay!
Yep.
And immediately, like, all the energy drained from my body, and I didn't realize that I was burnt out until, because my wife always knows before I do, and I was like, man, I'm tired. Like, I don't understand. I got 8 hours of sleep. I'm working out, and I'm not fatigued from the workouts and stuff like that. I just should have more energy.
Mm-hmm.
And she started asking some questions, and then she was like, I think you're burnt out. I think this is like what happens when you've been working for so long and you don't have a break at any moment in time.
Yeah.
And like, writing isn't the only thing I do. We have this podcast. I stream. Yeah. I do a bunch of other things. Also, I'm a dad. So I homeschool a bunch of things. And yeah, I was like, man, I am tired. Like, just mentally exhausted.
Yeah.
And it just so happens that it coincided with you, Tess. And like, things were going the way they were going for you. And so I was like, you know what? Maybe this is a time to take a break. Like, we should just chill a little bit, just live and just be. And, and while that was a little awkward for a little while, it was like, this is really good, like, for my mental everything.
Yeah.
And so we haven't been recording or, whatnot, even though there's been tons of things to talk about. There's been a lot to talk about. And even outside of, because I know at one point I didn't want to talk about certain films or TV shows because they were a part of, like, the strike is going on.
Yeah.
And I don't want to, while I'm not necessarily obligated, I don't want to, overstep in terms of potentially promoting something, whereas the actors and writers are protesting, what I'm saying?
Yes. Yes.
But even outside of that, there was a bunch of things to talk about. And so this week we decided to come back. And we're feeling a little bit better.
Yeah.
And so we're like, yeah, let's do it. And it's the timing is great because we have a moment in time that has been solidified by Black Twitter. For those who don't know, when something happens, we tend to, whether it's something traumatic or something like really, really serious or just funny in and of itself, we tend to make light of it with jokes. And there was an incident in Alabama involving a Black security guard, a bunch of white, I assume drunk people, and a bunch of Black people coming to the rescue. And it was great. Yeah. It was like the Avengers coming to the rescue and beating the mess out of a bunch of people. It was great. It was great. And let me preface by saying that we don't condone violence. We're not like, yay, people got beat up. But at the same time, we're like, yay, because people got beat up. For people who don't know,
instant karma.
So there was a brawl in Alabama. There was a security guard, or well, just
he was
a
actually co-captain of the boat.
Oh, he was a co-captain. Yeah, okay, so there you go. So the Harriet II. So there's a place on the docks where these boats can, like, I guess, park or whatever. And there's a spot that is set up for the Harriet. It's a tourist base boat.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's a river boat.
Yeah, it's a river boat. It takes people up and down the river. And, you know, there's a spot that's designated for it. So you mm-hmm. can't park there. It's like thinking about, like, you know, if someone were to park in a handicapped spot. You know, none of the people were disabled, but it's something like that. Like, this is a no zone for you. Mm-hmm. And so he went over and was like, hey, you guys got to move. This big boat is coming with all these people. You know, you got to move. He's doing mm-hmm. his job.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not trying to hear it. So he's like, well, you got to move. So he starts to untie the boat. They get, you know, and these are all white people. They get upset and they are, you know, one of them approaches him. And the black guy tosses his hat in the air. Like, he's like, I guess we're going to fight. And then a bunch of white guys jump on him. So I thought that was going to be the extent of the video. When I first saw it on Twitter, I was like, oh, this is, so we're just going to watch a bunch of, cause we, a lot of our trauma is posted all over social media all the time. Yeah. So I'm thinking, this is another one of those. I'm not expecting. And I was getting ready to, like, click away. And then I saw, I saw black people coming from so many different directions to help this one guy. Fam, whoever jumped off the boat and swam over.
Black woman, also known as Jamichael Phelps, also known as Mekhi Phelps, also known as Aquaman, also known as the man who delivered the fist of filet, like a filet fist.
Yo, he swam. You know, someone has to get punched. You can't swim that distance and not swing on someone. That's just how it's going to be. You cannot do that. He was like, you made me get wet. Like, I jumped in the water. Multiple things happened in this scene, right? Not only did he, like, eradicate certain stereotypes when it comes to black people not knowing how to swim. Not only is he not doing the thing where, because a lot of people had their phones out and they were recording. Not only was he one of, you know, the bystanders that were just recording it just to record mm-hmm. or to get, you know, social media points or whatever the case may be. He also threw hands, like, and was successful in the hand throwage, like tossing people left and right and knocking people over. Someone got thrown in the water. People were getting dragged. One guy took up a folding chair and hit two people. And what's crazy is that when he was doing it, the police were there. Like, the police actually showed up, and because the people were saying, like, oh, these are the aggressors. They knew who the captain was. They knew certain people, the staff of the boat who also got out and helped the black man fight. They knew who these people were from the town. And so they were already kind of like already on their side. And he goes and whacks a guy with a chair and then turns around, and this woman... And this was too far. He hits a woman who was sitting.
You know what? You know what? Okay, so this is, I'm gonna jump in here, because when I originally told the story to my friend that, like, Sunday morning, okay, when I was on the phone with my best friend and I was watching these while I was on the phone with her, I had said, I was like, oh, that was too far. And she was like, no, it's not. And she went in. She didn't even watch the video. She said, it's not too far, because if you, it don't matter if you're a woman. So you want to throw hands on a man? You're gonna get hit by a man, okay?
Damn, she was already down though.
She was already down.
The dude's wife or whoever's, because there was wives. The wives were fighting too, and she was already punched several times and was knocked to the ground. So she was done. She was out of it, and he went, like, straight WWE, chair to the cranium, on some Jeff Jarrett shit, and I was like, that is amazing.
The chairman of the boardwalk. The chairman of the boardwalk has PTSD. And when he saw what was happening to his fellow black people, he just reacted. He probably doesn't even remember that it happened, because
the chairman. Oh, weak. Oh, man. And then there was a part where, because there's multiple angles, there's a part where I guess the people tried to pull off on the boat, like, after it went down, because they realized they were getting ready to lose. There was way too many black people here. And they're like, no, you're not leaving. What, you thought you were just gonna leave? Like, You're gonna jump him and then leave. Like, you, fam, there's no, wait, there's no one's no. leaving yet.
Look, no one's look, leaving. This is a sequence of events. The sequence of events was this. Harriet is the whatever they call it. These people, all kinds of people, okay? Black people, white people, Creole people. Everybody is on this. They're having a good time. It's Sunday brunch. Have a good time. You're on the river boat, okay? Having a good time. Right. If anybody has ever been on a big boat like that, if anybody has ever been on, not even big boat, boats. I was on a powerboat adventure in the Bahamas years ago. The boats got to moor. They got to come in and they have specific places right. where they're allowed to be, just like we have discussed already. And they had to wait. They were already waiting 30 mm-hmm. plus minutes. They could not. And they're sitting there like, are these people legit? Are these people serious? They're not going to move their private boats? I mean, right. like, no joke, people on private boats have entitlement issues, because even when we were when I was in the Bahamas on a private island on a powerboat adventure on a private island, no one else is allowed to come here. There were people on their own private boats who pulled up to the island. They saw other yeah. people on the island. They're like, oh, we're going to pull up here. They pulled up to the island. They tried to get off. Oh, no. The employees, they went right up. They're like, if you don't leave. Like, you got 5 seconds yeah. in the private island, leave. And they were like, well, they realized there was nowhere for them to dock. The only place that they could have docked for the island, like legit dock, otherwise you're just kind of in a channel that has a current.
Right.
Your boat's yeah. not going to be there when you come back.
Exactly.
But anywho, the point is they were waiting forever for this, to get off this boat. These people want to get off the boat. They have other things to do with their lives. Okay.
Exactly.
The co-captain, this man, I forgot his name. I forgot his name. I'm gonna pull up all the names. We're gonna get all the names. We gotta speak to their names so that we can actually have conversations. But he is
while you're looking that up too, I just wanna say the people that had jumped him, they have been arrested, and then three more people who mm-hmm. had fled the scene have also been arrested. All right. white folks. I think the only yeah. person that was apprehended that was black was the guy with the chair. And that's because yeah. of the second hit of the of yeah. the woman, not because of the, and I think he got off too, but
yeah, yeah. they just wanted to speak with him. And that's why everybody,
right.
the best part about the internet is that they're like, we would like to speak with him. Everybody's like, what chair? Cause they're, we would like to speak to the man with the chair. What chair? I'm sorry. What? We didn't see right. a chair. None of us saw a chair. We don't know anything about a chair. Who are you talking about?
Yes.
Did you see a chair? I didn't see a chair.
What? And they, chair? And they was...
Boardwalk? What?
And they were, and for people who also don't know, like, there was the captain, one of the co-captains was saying that this isn't the first time this has happened. Not the fight. The fight, right. this is the first time a fight has happened. But yes. this happened where someone is, you know, a private boat has pulled into a spot that they're not supposed to be. And there's yeah. signage there. I think they were drinking, to be honest. There's they signage were, there to tell were. You not to be there. You know,
they definitely were inebriated, because you really don't understand how you would have that kind of caucasity. I mean, typically they have that kind of caucasity on a daily basis, but this caucasity was like hella caucasity. So
super Karen. Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, Mr. I didn't get his name yet, but the co-captain, he had to take another boat. He got off of the Harriet.
Mm.
Okay. The Harriet, named after Miss Harriet Tubman. okay. There's just so much symbolism here, but he had to right. get off of he took a smaller boat to the dock. Okay. So that he could tell these people to move.
Right.
And they didn't do it. And he continued to tell them over and over again. The best part is, like, when you were watching the video, basically the first video, the one that everybody says, hey, this is the earliest of the footage that we've got. Right. You see him continually. He's like pleading with him. There's somebody on the boat that says, no, stop explaining to them. They already had their chance. No, mm-hmm. just go untie their boats. And he is, you see the part where he goes like this. Okay. There are a lot of symbols in the world when it comes to, you know, different cultures of people. But when you see black people go like this.
Right.
It's nanoseconds from popping off. Okay.
Yes.
Nanoseconds.
Clapping of the hands.
Mm-hmm. Clapping of the hands like this. means that something is about to pop off. He is telling them, you got to go, okay? This conversation is ended. The craziest part about this is that the dude with the like gray shorts comes out of nowhere and just bum rushes him and pushes him. He didn't get violent with any of them. He's telling them and he just bum rushes and pushes him. And as soon as that happens, that's when the dude goes, oh, so you want to fight? And when that hat went up, everybody, we're like, this is a universal signal from now on, yes. Universal signal that we are assembling. Because yes. At no point in time was these boaters, at no point in time were their hands necessary on this man. He didn't threaten your life. Like, it was just, that was so unnecessary. So putting your hands on him was one thing that was wrong. But then when the dude with the red shorts just decides to come out of nowhere, and then it just becomes, they were attacking him. They jumped him. They had him on the ground. They were kicking him. I said, as soon as I saw that black man from the top, the dude in the black shirt, the man, yes. who I don't know, the 6'3" dude, okay? The tall man in the black shirt who said, honestly, you can't hear him, but all I heard was, oh, hell no. That's what I heard. That was what I heard. And he just ran down them, you know, whatever those types of stairs, the ramp.
Yes.
He jumped in that so fast. As soon as he could get, he could not get there fast enough. He couldn't get there fast enough. And he got in there. And he was just, the truth is, he was actually just trying to pull them off of him, because by this time, our man, our co-captain, is on the ground. You know, right. He's on the ground. He's really just trying to get them off. And this is the thing I'm going to say about these women that decided that they wanted to come and get in this fight. You're a woman. You've been drinking. Your men instigated this fight. Okay. Yeah. Your men instigated this fight in which they are jumping a black man in Montgomery. The fact that you decided that you needed to put your bodies in harm's way, you're stupid. You're dumb and you deserve all the blows that came with you. I have no sympathy for you. Sorry. Not at all. Because just like our lovely friend Tiffy Starchild has said, she said, as a woman, if I see my man in a fight he started, okay? And we're not talking about my man is fighting somebody because they called me the N-word. My man fighting somebody because they called me out my name or abused me and some, my man protecting. No, this is your men's just being stupid and racist for all we fucking care. And then you decided, instead of standing back and being like, I'm going to let the men do this because they're stupid, or I'm going to get on my phone and maybe call the police to stop this nonsense, or I'm going to call my employer to make sure that our health insurance is intact. Because those are the only things you should be doing. You should be being a secretary woman. Stay the hell out of the grown man's business, especially when they were the instigators and started the bullshit in the first place. But no, your dumbass decides that you want to go get into the fight. Well, then you're going to catch a fade too. Okay? Okay?
We cutting everybody's hair today. Like, that's what it is. Like, it's Bootsy for you, Bootsy for you, Bootsy for you. Like, And the thing is, like, even if they didn't start it, these are men fighting.
Yes.
Stay over there.
Stay over there.
Stay over there. Go get help. Go get help.
That's all you need to do.
You all have cell phones.
When Halle Berry's men were fighting, when Halle Berry's husbands, I said husbands, when Gabriel Aubrey was fighting Olivier Martinez in front of her house, they got into that. She said, you know what? And she called the police. Even though she was married to these dudes, like, she called the police and said, help.
Stay out the way.
Stay out the way. Because if you don't stay out the way, you're fixing for a beating. And at this point, you deserve it, because I'm sorry, those women were on camera kicking him on the ground. So I don't even care that you got hit in the head with a chair at this point. I mean, when I saw the video, I said, ooh, that was too far. And then I sat and marinated on it and I said, you know what? No, because you kicked him in the head. I don't care. You kicked him in the head. You deserve to get hit with the chair because you kicked him in the head.
Bam. And the fact that the wives pulled up and I don't even know, sisters, wives, black women pulled up and was beating up all the Karens. And that was great.
That was great.
It was like, it's action for everybody. Everybody wants to smoke. It's not just the men, because like you said, because nobody would have touched them if they would have stayed out of it.
The women would have never jumped in. The black women wouldn't have got, because when the black women got down the ramps, when they ran up on them, and when the black women got on the docks, they went straight for the women.
Exactly. They knew what the assignment was. They knew what the assignment was.
Yeah. Like, they grabbed hair, they dragged, they did everything. They went after the women. The only reason why that one dude threw the woman in the water was because she was fighting. And she was fighting the men. So he was like, oh no, you gotta catch it too. And he said, boop, 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 and threw her in the water. My favorite part. We need to discuss our favorite parts of the entire interaction, because I will tell you, my favorite part, I was talking to my friend on the phone about this. My favorite part is when the boat finally docked and all of the dudes got off.
Blue shirts, yes.
Okay, blue shirts, and then the dudes without the shirts. First of all, again, we were talking about universal signs. Something is about to go down. Hat flying off in the air. It's going down, okay? A black man skipping towards you without a shirt on means your life is in imminent danger. He's not skipping toward you because he wants to play skip to my loo. He's not skipping toward you because he wants to play hopscotch. He's not skipping toward you because he's a double dutch champion. He's fitting to take your life.
Okay? He's excited about it.
He's excited about it. Okay. It is a universal signal that you are about to get a beat down. Yes. So my favorite part is they go over there and they right? And then the like there's like 12 dudes. There's 12 black guys right at this point, right? And it's like two white dudes who decide they want to run up. Two. When those two dudes start catching it, the one dude, this is my favorite part, the one dude says, nope. He nopes out of it and he dives into the water.
Yes, I saw that.
My favorite part. He
left his friend.
He said, he's like, I'm too pretty for this. That's what he said. He's like, I'm too pretty for this. I have a casting call next week. And he jumps into the water. And then the woman goes, she's like, she helps him out of the water. I said, do you guys realize how dumb you are? This whole thing never needed to happen.
Right. Right. Just move. And the thing is, it's not even like they couldn't have moved a little. Because when they, at least from what we saw from the boat that was actually coming, that where they docked, they could have moved just a little bit.
Yeah.
And like, granted, I don't know how big the Harriet is, but like there was other places for them to dock. All they do, now they just move. And then from there, it's like, oh, you wanted to fight the captain. If it was one-on-one, this wouldn't have happened. They would have pulled them apart. The cops would have been called, whatever the case may be. But you guys went overboard.
Yeah.
And then are surprised at the response. Mm-hmm. Like, at the very least, the staff is going to have a problem with you when they reach the shore.
Thank you.
But anybody else watching is like, we're just not going to lie. Because this is the difference. Like, when it comes to police, it's the idea that what you can and can't do that, you know, may or may not get you arrested, may or may not get you shot even.
Yeah.
So the best thing you can do in a lot of times is to record or to call another cop potentially. But you can't really physically do a whole lot. But when it comes to you guys not being police officers, no, you can catch these hands. Like, that's just what it is.
You're catching hands.
And being dragged up and down the boardwalk. That just like, because you would.
Splinters everywhere. Splinters everywhere. You deserved it. You need lasting marks to tell you, hey, the more you fuck around, the more you'll find out. Did you
not
see the meme? It was a white man who did the meme and was trying to tell you in the video. He said, you see, he said, let's check the, you see, the more, because the axis, I'm going to do it.
It's like eventually
access F around find out Okay. If everybody took algebra, you realize, okay, that the more you F around, the more you find out. Because algebra, right? MX plus B equals C, I don't know, whatever. But the lines intersect here. I got an A in algebra. The lines intersect here because the more you F around, you find out.
Facts. They found out a lot that day. They were... Man, the Discovery Channel amount of information they got, like several libraries of books, like encyclopedias worth of information. You found out a lot.
Are going to be written about this dissertation.
Hidden treasure boxes everywhere. You found a lot. You found a lot for your troubles.
Like, don't.
And the memes are great.
They're so good.
The memes are great.
They're so good.
The folding chairs, I think they did you know that they're selling? Folding chairs have started selling. That is madness. Fam, we just, WWE has never, never made the chairs soar.
Nope.
This moment, fam.
No,
this is... Oh my
gosh. There was this one TikTok. The girl, I mean, obviously the guy in the video, she knows. This black woman, she's at the store and she's in the chair aisle. She does some hardware store. To the chair aisle, and she's looking at chairs, and she picks up one and she's like, and then this white man who works at the store, he's walking behind her. She immediately goes and like swings it, and he's like, so it's just the context of the thing was, stay ready so you don't have to get ready. And then, but she was like, you know, she didn't hit him. She was just like he flinched, and then he was like, and then he walked in. Obviously, this is satire, but it's just, it's out of control. Like the amount of chair jokes out there.
Yes.
You've got the chair with the do-rag and the Black Air Force. You've got the chair. With his face, he's interviewing the chair, and the chair was like, oh no, I'm white. He's like, the chair is like, I'm white, but I'm on y'all side.
Yo. Oh my gosh.
Not interviewing the chair. And then,
bruh.
And then the guy he wrote letters from the war front of Montgomery. And it's like, Ethel. Unfortunately, we've lost the battle. Cletus lost his tooth. Making sure that you guys understand that he only had one tooth to begin with.
Facts.
Cletus lost his tooth. Jebediah is whatever. And he's like, send bail money. I can't. I cannot. It is too funny because all of the people who have sense, okay? You do not have to be black to have sense,
right.
Okay? All of the people that have sense are saying, no, those people got what they deserve. You cannot jump a man,
Thanks.
A black man, on the same docks where slaves were stolen and brought to be sold in broad daylight, beat up a black man for doing his job, his actual job, and then act like nothing is going to happen to you. The police aside, you cannot believe for 5 seconds that people are not going to come at you correctly. Hands were the only solution here. Hands. That was it.
They were lucky it was hands.
Yeah.
They were lucky it was hands and a chair.
In one chair. Okay. It was just hit because at the end of the day, what are people online saying? They're saying, they're like, yo, things can be settled with hands, good old hands, because some people have to fuck around before they find out.
Yes.
This is just the way it is sometimes. And it's unfortunate for them. It's unfortunate for them because not only did they get their asses beaten publicly, okay, they all have been arrested.
Yep.
All right. And the fact that this one woman, this black woman, was given play by play, and the cop came to her to say, hey, what's going on? Because by the time the cops got there, they didn't know what was happening. It was insane. There was people
getting beat
up every 5 feet. They got there because the cops didn't show up for 18 whole minutes after they were called. So by the time they got there, the bros were all up and down the boardwalk and they're like, what are we supposed to be doing right now? And then they're getting information from people and they're like, the one lady, she's like, it's them right there. It's them right there. And then she just keep going. I loved it. I was like, and then he said to her finally, when she cut her phone off, he was like, do you have video to show me? Like, can you show me proof? Because she had all of the video. She had every last second, every piece of information that was necessary to show that this black man was doing his job. They put hands on him first. And every other black person that put hands on a white person that at the dock that put hands on those people was coming to this man's aid. And that's why it's like, you know what? At the end of the day, like the if these idiots want to press charges, they want to say, you know, I want to press charges for battery because, you know, battery at the end of the day is the unwanted touching of another. Go ahead and do it. You can. You have every legal right. You have an American right to do so. Will it get thrown out? Absolutely. A judge will not hear. A judge will be like, so you put your hands on them first? You put your hands on somebody first and then you got hands thrown on you and you think that we're going to charge them?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's not going to work.
Yeah. No, especially when it's freaking documented from several different angles.
There are 30 angles. There were
you have nothing to stand on. You have nothing to stand on. We've seen this from so many different angles that it's like we new footage came out to the point where I was like, oh, I didn't know you got beat up that bad. Like, I was like, oh, I saw the guy got thrown, and then I saw this dude got punched in the face, and this one got dragged down the boardwalk. And then I'm like, all right, so, you know, we handled our business. And then another angle, I'm like, oh, I didn't know Shorty got thrown in the water. And then the camera flips over, and then there's the chair dude just smacking people. And I'm like, wow.
I didn't even know where he got the chair. Everybody said, where did he even get the chair?
Was that on the boat?
Like, on the boat.
Was it like behind a glass, like break in case of emergencies?
This is why there was no chair. This is the Matrix. There is no spoon. There was no chair. Okay.
Oh, man.
He was just like doing lightning flash hits that it looked like a chair. And that's what it was. Leave that man alone. There was no chair. I'm sorry. I didn't even get the names out because the names are not necessary. Y'all.
Chairman works for me.
Chairman of the boardwalk,
freaking Avengers. Like I said, Aquaman and Chairman,
Michael Phelps. They said
the skipper, the skipper.
Yo, I will never. I mean, and it will never not be funny. This is gonna. I mean, there's T-shirts, y'all. You can memorialize it. They're calling it. People are saying that it's a holy day. Like it's out of control.
So fast. We move so fast. The fact that there was shirts for sale
immediately after the shirts were on sale at least by Sunday morning. I mean, I know they were on sale by Saturday night, but Sunday morning, by the time I got on Twitter at like 7 a.m. is when I saw everything. And I was like,
facts. It's like, if they weren't rushed, I'd probably get one. Like,
right?
Hilarious.
So you remember years ago that chair purse, that it's not really a purse because it doesn't hold anything, but it was a bedazzled chair. And the fact that that is coming back, like everybody is posting that, it is hilarious. It's so funny because I remember when that was a thing and it was like, this is hilarious now, but now it has context. Now it has something to go with it that had nothing to do with its invention. And it's funny. And the fact that there are now chair earrings, you can get them folded or unfolded. Okay. They've got two types.
That's amazing.
I mean, the Negro National Anthem has now had the words changed. Lift every chair and swing.
Fire. That is fire. That is so dope. Like, and again, not promoting violence. Just want to throw that out there. We're not saying that you should beat everyone up and just have chairs. But I'm saying chairs are on sale right now. I'm just saying. 2-for-1. Go ahead and pick you up some. You never know.
The parents are teaching their children and they've got the in the bag, Wakanda for, because when I saw it, I didn't even say Avengers. I was like, uh-oh, Wakanda's about to come out. And they have the kids swinging and learning how to swing. This is gold. Because at no point in time are do we at no point in time do we intend to go and take chairs and beat people. That is not what we're saying. We are saying that this was so funny. This beatdown was so well deserved and well executed that we are going to pretend as if we're going to mentally terrorize like every day until it's no longer funny. We're going to make jokes about this.
And it was going to come back. Funny. It's going to come back. Like next year, the anniversary, I'm sure of it. It's stand-up comedians. It's going to be a thing. It is cemented in the history books. They are being printed right now of the Alabama riverboat beating or whatever the case may be. Oh, my gosh. That was great.
So great.
That was amazing. And we were saying before, this could be, honestly, the entire cast.
I have no problems with that. If we had gotten guests, it would have been great. We could have just had people on and just be like, and where were you on August 5th?
Facts. We might have to do that for next week. The next thing we wanted to talk about is, so you know that, like we said before, there's the strikes and everything that's going on, and it coincides with a lot of things that's happening with the streamers. One of them being Disney. Disney Plus has lost a ton of subscribers. Like, I want to say like 11 million subscribers or something like that. And Disney is, well, they were already talking about responding with, you know, raising the prices for Disney and Hulu, Disney Plus and Hulu. And because they're losing money, it's not bringing back the money that they want. And then the strikes are definitely not helping because you don't have any new shows and stuff like that that's coming. And so it's interesting to me. For several reasons. One, because this could potentially work. We've seen that with Netflix when they cracked down on the password sharing that, you know, a lot of people were like, well, I'm not, you know, I'm not using Netflix and everything, but their subscribers went up.
Yeah.
And so everyone's going to be trying to do this now that it worked with Netflix. And I don't know, when I say worked, that's tentative. I don't know if this is going to stay this way because they did it around a time where it's like, okay, there's some things coming out I want to see. And so I'm just going to get it for a month and whatever. So like they're not counting based on year over year type of stuff. Whereas Disney Plus, who's going to be trying this pretty soon, it's like it could in the short span of time, it could work. People want to see these shows and they know that no new shows are coming. So they might want to watch them. But in terms of long term growth, might not be the case, especially with the price going up. And it's interesting because outside of that just being a thing, you would think that you would want to reduce the price considering the strike. And the new, or I should say the old CEO.
Bob Iger,
who came back. And he was like, you know, earlier on he was saying like he doesn't understand the strikes. He doesn't get it. And, you know, it's people are just making trouble. He didn't say trouble. He used other words. I'm paraphrasing. But essentially he's like, it's a big ado. We should have been able to talk about this. But I don't get it. Granted, he's mad rich, so obviously he wouldn't get it. But now he's like, I'm dedicated to like stopping the strike and, you know, coming to the table with ideas and all this other stuff. And we're, you know, with the price hike and everything, is like, yeah, you, I think you're realizing that when things don't go well, you're kind of the one that the buck stops. Similarly to the other guy. Because even though we could argue that the previous CEO might have made some missteps in aggravating certain talent when they did like some of the Marvel films were in theater and on Disney Plus and how people didn't like that. Same thing with Warner Brothers and how they lost Christopher Nolan. You know, while I think that some of the decisions were smart because of COVID, at the same time, when things go wrong, you're blamed. And so obviously that's what happened with the previous guy. He was ousted. They brought Bob back. Bob, he didn't even want to come back. And now he's back. And so you think like you're back when like, you know, not even, I don't think it's been a year and we have a full fledged strike with all these different unions and everything.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're trying to make sense of Disney Plus to where you're taking off shows like Willow in order to potentially get a tax cut. You're taking off, you know, legacy stuff. You're doing all these different things. You're trying to move things around. And you come out and you say something like that and it's like, dog, you're not helping your situation. You're not really helping at all. And so like now with the price going up, it's like, well, outside of the Disney Plus Hulu bundle, which I think is actually a decent bundle now, considering how much both of their prices are going up separately, and the fact that you don't have to have ESPN, so it comes down a little bit. It's in a good spot, and we can always argue whether or not the content is worth, because the consumers don't care that you spent millions on a show. If they don't like the show, they don't care. So worth and pricing and all that is very, you know, subjective here, right? But for what you're getting, I can understand having a price being raised, especially when you bundle it with Hulu. What you don't understand, I guess, what I can understand from a consumer standpoint is that with the strike going on, and we know that there's a strike, we know that there's going to be a potential lull in what's coming.
Mm-hmm.
Would I want to invest, or would I want to subscribe if that's going to be the case? It's a little bit different with, I think, with Netflix, because they do this thing where, with Tudum and all that, where they showcased a ton of content that's going to be coming throughout 2023. So they're not really going to feel it per se until 2024, even though, like, I guess in terms of creating the content, it's like, okay, like, I think Stranger Things and whatnot, like, it's paused, right?
Mm-hmm.
But no one was expecting Stranger Things right now anyways. So Netflix is a little bit in a buffer, like, they're in a okay spot. Whereas Disney Plus is like, oh, you have all these future Star Wars things that are coming, these Marvel shows that are coming, and now that's grinding to a halt. It's like, well, dang, if I wasn't subscribing before the, like, if I don't have a family, I'd have a family, but if I didn't have a family that watched, like, the old Disney cartoons or Disney films, why would I be subscribing? And now you're raising the price and people aren't writing or making new shows. Why would I do that? It's like a weird spot to be in for them, because they have to raise the money because they're bleeding money with all the stuff. Yeah. But then at the same time, it's like, this strike is going to be hurting you guys. So my point to say all that is that Bob's stance shouldn't be, I don't understand these people. It should be, what do you need? Like, exactly. what do you need?
Let's have a conversation.
We can get this facts so we can get this rolling. Because at the end of the day, even though this money is coming out somewhere, you know, whether you push it off to the consumers or whatever the case may be, you have to pay these people.
Yeah.
You have to pay these people. And it's not going to kill it. It's not going to kill you to do that, because you make a lot of money. Like, you guys make a lot. And, you know, they were talking about how much money they had made, you know, when they do the earnings or whatever, and how much more money was there. And it's like, even though things are down, you're still over billions in like, you're still making billions. You know what I mean? Like, even though you're down, like, there's some losses from Disney Plus, Disney as a whole, in terms of going to theaters. Yeah, you're making so much money that it's not going to hurt you guys, especially if you're passing the buck to the consumers. It's not going to hurt you guys to pay these people just like something. And then we're not even just talking about the writers. We're talking about the extras and the people behind the camera and the people who don't make a lot of money at all, who have to struggle just to make ends meet. You can pay these people to make these great shows. Exactly. You can pay these people, you know, in order to get people to stay on your streaming service.
Yeah. I was disappointed when I haven't been paying attention to the strike as much as I guess I'm not paying as much as I want to, but I'm not paying as much attention to a lot of things. But I did see Billy Porter say what he said about, you know, having to sell his house. And he was like, you know, I have to sell my house because I can't live. You know, we're not working right now. And they don't want to come to the table. They don't want to meet with us and go over any of our demands. But it was something else that's sad in and of itself. But what upset me was when he said that, well, Bob didn't, I'm paraphrasing because I don't know exactly what was said, but he said that Bob Iger had said that we're going to starve them out of their homes or something like that. Like, a statement like that was made. And I'm like,
yeah, it was, I don't think it was Bob. It was the way they said it was like the higher ups at different places. It was kind of like they were talking amongst themselves and they were like,
okay,
we could potentially do that because they can, they have a lot of money.
Yeah, they can. Yeah.
But the problem is that a lot of these companies are publicly traded. And so if the money, if things start to hit too low, you have to talk to your investors. And that's what I was saying about Bob, because Bob has a cushy job right now. But if Bob, if things get too bad and they look at Bob and be like, yo, you're supposed to be steering the ship and you're crashing into every iceberg you see. Like the other guy, you can be replaced. And the only reason I think Bob might have a little bit longer than maybe say like a CEO at like, I don't know, HBO Max or whatever, is because Bob has done a lot of amazing things. Like he was them buying LucasArts and then buying Marvel and then buying, he was, you know, around for that, right? Exactly. That gives him some leeway. But at the same time, it's like, hey, because the investors only care about themselves. So you can be thrown under the bus too. You know what I'm saying? And so then this idea of like, we're raising the pricing for our streaming service. And one of the selling points of this was that you get all this content for a low price. And it's like, if people don't latch on to that, if people, if the subscribers actually go the opposite way of Netflix, it's like, Bob, what you doing? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, and so for them to say like, oh, we can star them out, you can technically, but you could also lose your job. And while you'll still be able to live because you have millions of dollars, well, I don't know your spending, but one would think you could live based on having millions of dollars in the bank. If you want to keep making millions, it would behoove you to do something about the strike.
Exactly.
In a positive manner.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? But yeah, that is sad. That is sad. I didn't know he lost his house.
He said he had to sell his house. I saw it posted. I think it was, I mean, he said it on like Instagram, and then next thing you know, like all the news outlets were picking it up. That's exactly what he said. But that's really sad just hearing, you know, he said, he said, I have to sell my house because of Hollywood, strike. That's what he said.
And then that's what they're,
And
that's what they're fighting for. Like they're fighting for people. I'm you know, I was seeing some of the actors, because a lot of people were in the comments when they were talking about, you know, being on strike, and they're like, you know, oh, boohoo, you know, you make millions and you're whining about some money. And they're like, a lot of us aren't even striking for ourselves.
No.
They're like, some of us don't make any money.
Right.
And so this, we have solidarity in that, because we see these people every day, the makeup artists, the cameraman, we see these people all the time, and it doesn't sit well with us that we make enough money to be comfortable, and they don't make minimum wage. Like that's bananas. Yeah. That part is not even like that. You're not, because I don't expect every role to get rich. I don't expect that.
Nobody's saying that.
But to not even get minimum wage, and you're a part of, your name is somewhere attached to a Marvel film, makes no sense. They make way too much money. They have several films in the $1 billion mark in terms of revenue. How do you not make minimum wage?
Yeah. Like, and that's the craziest part.
What is happening?
I don't know how these contracts are written. I really don't. And I know that a lot of people sign on for pennies. Like they sign on to these things for a very small amount. But the thing is, they're also told by the industry that this is how much worth what you are doing is. You know,
which makes
it's so unfair. It's like, okay, the potential for a movie to make billions of dollars, if you're signing on to an action, this isn't even a trilogy, octology or something,
right. You know, or
decaology or whatever. If you're signing on to an IP that potentially can make 20 movies in 20 years or release 20 movies in 25 years, the potential for money is huge. What I find so interesting in, it's not just this, I mean, obviously it's majorly this industry, but it happens in a couple of others too, is that they dictate, like people tell you, and then the people around you dictate what your role is worth, which is so unfair, because if every job is pre-dictated, okay, every job money is pre-dictated, okay, so the PAs make this, and the gaffers make this, and the makeup artists make this, and the XYZ, right? And the actors make this, depending on how many lines are on screen time, whatever. Then all of them, if everything is like set out and budgeted, then when the money, when the movie makes $1 billion in surplus, okay, let me not just you throw out a number there, but if a movie makes $500 million in surplus, okay, of what right. it was budgeted, of like, hey, this is how much everything is going to cost, that extra money, because I know good and well that the makeup artist isn't getting that. Like, I know good right. and well that the gaffer's not getting that. I know good and well that the PA isn't getting that because somebody told them that their job was worth $15 an hour, or somebody told them that this is how much your job is worth. They don't have any bargaining power to ever get more than that. Like, it's very rare. And so if let's just say a movie makes $300 million over what it was ever expected to, and everybody else's contracts are written and this is how much they got paid X, Y, and Z. I don't know who has contracts that says, by the way, if the movie makes this much over, then this is what the percentage is mine. I don't know who has that. And then I don't know who has even the power, like the audacity, to go into the meeting and say, this is what I want. Because I guarantee you, if a PA did that, they wouldn't get the job.
Exactly. Exactly. So,
if there is $200-300 million in surplus, okay, that ends up being made from X movie, then isn't that money basically going to the studio exec, not just of course. To the execs? So the execs, who are, you know, whatever, they're splitting it amongst themselves. Three blockbusters came out that year for that studio, and so each of them is bringing home $200 million. I'm throwing out numbers, but
right. It's the breakdown, you know, we won't know the breakdown, the mm-hmm. exact breakdown, but we do know that, like, and this happens in the video game industry as well, where yeah. you'll see a CEO get a bonus of yeah. a goofy amount of millions. And it's like, where yeah. did that bonus money come from? Oh, it came from yeah. the surplus of money that we've made, essentially because we're not paying people. The fact that someone can get and I actually saw this from big shows, a royalty check for like, what, $1 and some change?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, the check itself, the paper costs more than the royalty.
Thank you.
But the show actually made a lot of money and is making a lot of money. Like,
yeah,
and I know things are a little weird because I talked about this before with streamers, where because the shows aren't syndicated like they used to be, where this show is popular, so now we put this show on another network, and that network, we're licensing it. So that's where that extra money came from. Mm-hmm. Like, you think of like the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, all the mm-hmm. actors from that were getting a lot of money over the years because it kept being licensed all around the place.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, if you have a streamer, it's like, was on the, you know, Stranger Things is on Netflix. It's only on Netflix. You know what I'm saying? So that's not mm-hmm. going to get syndication. So it's not going to get that money.
Yeah.
But the streamers are like, or the companies are like, well, we're just going to pay you this. And it's like, well, we can't live off that. It was yeah. different if we got paid, and to break it down for everybody, if you get paid a small amount for a show, but then mm-hmm. you live off a residual, you're more readily okay with getting paid a small amount up front. But mm-hmm. if you're not getting that, you're not going to want a small amount up front because you have to live in between these shows. Like, yep. when the show isn't airing or you're not working on it, you're not getting paid.
Yeah.
So you need a larger sum up front, and the streamers weren't trying to do that. And now this is even more murky because now all the streamers are adding ad version, so now you have yeah. advertisement money. Like, it's really murky, and like, there's no set ruling for it. But when it came to the table of like, hey, our contracts are up with the unions and everything, and or the unions coming to the table for the creators mm-hmm. and being like, hey, they need more money because they can't live, and we know that you guys are making however much money, and we know that even though things were funky, we need to work something out so we all get paid. Mm-hmm. And they're like, no, this is just how we're going to do it. It's like, well, we can't live off that. We can't continue to die for you to make exorbitant amount of money. And that's the yeah. problem. It's not even like, it's not like, you know, Bob is making like $23 an hour, and this person over here is only making $5 an hour. It's like, no, Bob, you've made several, there's people who work their entire lives on like the best things mm-hmm. ever and will never touch a million.
Mm-hmm.
You never. Have several millions.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
per year.
Right. So I don't understand how you don't, I understand why you don't understand why people are upset, but the fact that they can't, you know, people are selling the houses, people are saying that they can't eat. Like,
yeah.
there's been a lot of talk about people not having, they had to sleep with, you know, like bunk with someone.
Yeah.
If you're working on the Orange is the New Black, you should not have to do that. One of the actresses on the Orange is the New Black was like, you know, the show is great and everything, but in terms of her livelihood, not so much.
Yeah. It's one of the
biggest shows. And what's crazy is that show was released. It's one of the few shows that was released outside of Netflix. You can actually go buy DVDs. Yeah, you can buy the digital versions of those. A lot of shows don't get that. And so it has room to make even more money, and they're not getting any of it.
Yeah.
Like,
it's the same. It's just
be fair.
Just be fair. Like, and remember that, like, a lot of people who don't understand this industry, there's a lot of people like that. A lot of people who will just generalize, and they'll be like, oh, people work for the government, make these big salaries. No, guys, I worked for the government for 6 years and I made trash. I made $15.32 an hour. And the highest I ever made there was like 18 something. I was a GS-5 the entire time. Well, really a GS-4 when I was a contractor, and I was a GS-5 and I never got any higher than that. I did not make any money. So no, stop saying that everybody who works for the government makes a lot of money. And then they're like, everybody who works in Hollywood makes a lot of money. That is a lie. Okay.
Yes.
Hollywood, no. Okay, that's really not true. And all actors don't make a lot of money. When somebody says they're an actor, it doesn't mean that they are a blockbuster actor. It means that they do commercials. Okay, it means that they may do small things and they don't necessarily get that much money. But also, you see people out here picketing, like you saw Robert Downey Jr. was out there. You know, you saw what's his face? I was Smeagol. Like, you saw. There's so many people, you know, big names, right? Because again, just like you said, they're sticking up for the people who are not getting paid. And what's his face? The dude who played, he was on Insecure. I always forget his name, but I follow him on Instagram because I just can't get over him and I love him. But
the guy who played Lawrence?
Not Lawrence. What's his face? The other boyfriend.
Oh, the light-skinned cat.
Yes.
But what is his name?
I forgot. But he was picketing, and so he did a video, and he was talking about how, you know, he's out there advocating for young Black actors.
Kendrick.
Yes, Kendrick. Thank you. So he's out there, and he's like, he had his thing on there, and people were doing stupid comments and saying things. They're like, if you can afford gold fangs, because he was wearing his. He's special, but he's wearing his clothes. You can afford gold things. You don't need to be out there. Can he be out there to support other people? And then also on top of that, he may have gotten good money off of Insecure or whatnot. But just because you were on Insecure does not mean that your life is straight for the rest of your life. Even like Issa had to work real. Issa did a lot of stuff before Insecure got on HBO, and was not living large. Okay,
right.
Like. It takes
and one purchase water. Doesn't mean you're like, trust me, those don't cost as much as you think.
Yeah.
Like, go down south, fam. They don't cost as much as you think. Chill.
No.
It'd be different if you had a grill of diamonds. It's not the same.
Yeah.
It's gold, fam. Yeah.
You can get it pretty cheap. It's like you can get them for $30.
Like, I don't understand where that come from. Like, just do some Googling. Like, good grief.
It's gold. I remember getting a gold pair of earrings when I was 12 years old or 13, and they cost $25. And I thought that was a hell of a lot of money. But
yeah, gold hasn't been like, I mean, gold is coming back, but it hasn't been like mad pricey since forever. Like,
seriously, it's not platinum.
Yeah, like it's okay. It's all right. He's. But even then, even if he had like a Gucci outfit,
right?
It's like, what does it say? You're your opinion on someone doing something, because someone said this to me when I was like a while ago, when I was like advocating for something and trying to position or have me be positioned as someone who shouldn't advocate because I don't suffer from A, B, and C. And it's like, why would we only want the people who are suffering to be the voice? You need people who aren't suffering.
Exactly.
Like, you need help. That's the whole point. None of that makes sense to me. You have
the whole people, you know, Black people needed white allies so that the white allies could talk to the white people making laws and say, hey, this is wrong. Stop treating people like this. Hello?
Right.
Like
part of the Underground Railroad. Underground Railroad. Did you think we were going to Black people's houses? No. These were white people.
Because we couldn't, houses.
Okay.
We would get pulled out of the house. Like, come on, fam. It's, come on. It's just Google people. But yeah,
I'm sitting here advocating for reparations. I'm not getting no reparations. I have maybe not discussed this on the pod, but I'm African. Okay. Ghanaian, I'm not getting them. They're not giving me the reparations. Okay. Literally, somebody had said that to me, like, what are you so pressed about? What are you fighting for? Can I not see Black people happy and successful?
Can we not care about other people? Like, that's what you're basically saying. We can't care about other people.
Can I not want all native land returned to natives? Like, is that, I'm not allowed to do that? I'm not allowed to wish for that?
But that's what it said. It's like, you can't care. They don't care. They don't care about other people. And so it's weird to them that you would care about other people. It's an odd thing.
People are weird.
Shout out to all Black people. Shout out to all Black people, especially those with folding chairs. The last thing we wanted to talk about was, and this is actually good news, is the Marvel VFX workers are fighting to unionize. And I'm getting this from IGN. Shout out to Alex Steadman. She's been a guest on our show. And, you know, one of the only people who likes, what was it, Wheel of Time, she said she liked? No, it was... Dang, what was the show she said she liked? And we kind of like paused. I can't remember. That's how bad the show is. But nah, shout out to Alex. Alex is the homie. But yeah, she wrote up an article about how...
Wait, Rings of Power?
Yeah, it was Rings of Power. No,
she liked Wheel of Time and Rings of Power, right?
Yes, yes, she liked Wheel of Time. And we were like, wow.
We need her to come back. Yep. We need to have a very, very long conversation about those shows. Like, I will go back and watch them to talk with her.
Yes, we got to get them both back on. She interviewed and that's Mark we're talking about, Mark from GameSpot. But yeah, mm-hmm. Alex, she interviewed some Marvel VFX workers, and people who don't know, they're the people who basically work on all the Marvel films in terms of like the special effects and things of mm-hmm. that nature. And recently, I want to say earlier this week, a lot of the workers at Marvel voted to file for a union election at the National Labor Relations Board to be represented by the International Alliance of Stage Employees, or IATSE. And basically what this means is that they're fed up, essentially.
Yeah,
and being able to unionize means that they could actually do things like go on strike. Yeah. Being able to unionize means that they can better barter for, better working hours. Because right now they were talking about how they were sometimes working 18-hour days and not getting paid what they should be getting paid. Even though the companies are making so much money, they're not getting paid what they should be. And, you know, a lot of their work isn't even being appreciated because of the rushing or the crunch that they have to go through. A lot mm-hmm. of the stuff that comes out some of the times doesn't look as good. And people, if you look at Twitter and any of the Marvel shows and how people are talking about them, a lot of times they're like, it's too dark, or it's too this, or it's too that. Like, any of the stuff that people say about them, good or bad, it's like their work is always subject to scrutiny.
Yeah.
And people don't realize that they're working in conditions that aren't the best. So like, pulling some quotes from her article, one of them says, "These are companies which are making billions of dollars off our work. And we're asking to be put on the same deal as the people working alongside us and be given access to things like health care and a pension fund and the basic protections of work. We feel that this is one of the most reasonable demands that anyone's ever made." And this is coming from Mark Patch, who's a VFX organizer for the mm-hmm. IATSE and a former coordinator of Disney Plus WandaVision. So basic things like healthcare, like, just listen to that.
Yeah.
Access to healthcare.
Yeah.
What I'm thinking is happening is that a lot of these are contracted.
They are. Like contract work. Positions.
And with contract work, you're not given all of the, because you're not technically mm-hmm. an employee.
You're a 1099.
You're just doing a job for however long. And so a lot of them will get rolled over. Like, you'll come back for another job, but it's still contract work. And usually, because we talked about this with Nintendo a mm-hmm. while back, how the promise is that, if I do good enough, I'll become a full-time employee.
Yeah.
If I make any type of you know, if I go to my boss and be like, hey, we're not getting paid enough or we're not blah, 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 I'll get replaced with someone else who wants to be in my spot because they think mm-hmm. that they'll be getting a full-time position. And that's how that they kind of keep you in line. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? Like, don't leave your cushy job at Marvel. At the very least, Marvel is on your resume. You know what I'm saying? And it's not all what it's cut out to be. They talked about how that they're looking to be protected under certain terms, minimum wage increases and pension, healthcare plan, turnaround improvements, and just basically better working environment where they're not crunching to try to like get these, you know, get everything done for a film that's getting ready to drop. I think one of the people was saying that they weren't allowed to leave for 2 weeks. Like they were like, you can't take any days off for however many days until you get this done for like an episode of one of the Disney Plus shows. And it's like, it's like, wow, like that's kind of rough.
Project work. And it's project work because it's like you have timed deliverables. And that basically, I think that's kind of what it comes with in a way that maybe some other people can understand. Cause maybe some people don't really understand what we're talking about, but think of it in that think of it, project management. Deliverables are due X, Y, and Z at this time. And a project is funded, a project is budgeted, and this is how much money the project gets. And so this is how much money people are going to be paid, regardless of how many hours they have to put in, especially if hours are not negotiated into the project in payment form. Like if you say, okay, well, these are billable hours. Well, if the contract didn't negotiate that, if the contract was worth $100 million, it's $100 million and that's it. And if your employer didn't say, oh, by the way, if you work this many, this is how much money it is. This is how much you're getting paid. Everybody is getting paid this much, blah, 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 blah. And that's it. So if you worked 14 hours, it doesn't make a difference. If you worked 8 hours, between 8 hours or 14 hours or 18 hours in that same day, you're still getting the same amount of money because all they care about is that at the end of the project, at the end of when the deliverable is due, the work is done. And so what typically happens with people like this is that the deliverable is due and you end up making your own hours, but because you know the deliverable is due Friday in two weeks from now on Friday, you realize you're like, hey, the only way it's going to get done by that day is if I work 18 hour days. And then especially if like people will set up the projects to where they're working normal hours in the beginning, maybe normal. Okay. When I say normal, I mean accounting hours. Okay.
Right.
Everybody knows that a part-time accountant works 45 hours a week. Cause if you didn't, you know, now.
Right.
But the point is that's what they're doing. They might be working, you know, 45 hour weeks. And then all of a sudden those 45 hour weeks turn into 80 hour weeks. Because they're like, hey, we're not going to get this done. Typically, when you have change orders, like let me talk about non-animation construction. When there's a change order because a new material needs to be used, let's say that you're installing flooring, okay? And the flooring that you are installing is being shipped from Italy. And unfortunately, it's going to get caught up in customs for 9 weeks. And that not only is that, I mean, you budgeted for the cost, but if it gets caught up in customs, your team is going to be 9 weeks behind and you're going to end up having to pay more in labor and all that kind of stuff. So now you need a change order because you need to change flooring. So whether or not it costs less or more to get a different flooring on time so that you don't blow out your budget on labor, a change order gets put in and that may decrease the amount of the total cost or may increase the amount of the total cost. That's the only time when money is changed. And that's the only time where you could actually say at the end of the day, okay, well, we had budgeted for 1 million, but we had these change orders and this made the project cost 1.5 because these change orders. That's a different story. Right. What they're trying to say is that's not what's happening.
Exactly. You
know? If they were getting more money for change orders, that would have been that's one thing. And that's something else to be discussed, but it's basically just saying, hey, you're required to do all of this stuff for this one set amount. And it's not enough to live off of because you are putting in 20 hours in a day. You can't live your life. You can't get a sick day. You can't do anything. You can't get any weekends off. You can't get any days off during a week because this type of project requires so much work. And yep. if you do deliver, okay, if the deliverable is due, they said, hey, this is what we need by this date, and you deliver, and then they come back and they say, hey, the shading on Loki's helmet is not right.
Mm-hmm. You gotta fix it.
You gotta fix it. And that's not a change order. That's not more money.
That's you not like
getting the deliverable, even though you did what you thought you were supposed to do.
Exactly. And the only reason it's not the shading isn't right is because you've been crunching for however long. And this is cyclical too, because you think mm-hmm. about it. If you do manage to hit the timeline, the next time when you bring this up and be like, hey, we're working too much, blah, 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 they're like, well, you met the deadline. So apparently everything is good. We went way out of our way to get this done, but that's not, we don't want that to be the norm. Like, it should be better. And they're like, well, no, you got it done. So, yeah. Or they'll be like, we can actually pay you less because technically you didn't, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's so many things that this kind of goes wrong and, you know, it makes it hard to negotiate, which is why they need to unionize.
Unions, they do. Everything needs another, a union.
Right.
It's true.
Another person pointed out that they're like, you know, when you're turning a 90-minute movie into a 10-hour feature, basically mm-hmm. you're doing 10 times the amount of work with the same or even sometimes a shorter time period. Practically, from Marvel, we certainly have seen since COVID and streaming, the amount of demands on our time and mental and physical health mm-hmm. just explode. So you think Disney Plus, COVID, people are watching streamers way more. They want to make sure that they've already said that they're going to have all these different shows and we want to stick to this timeline because these shows are tied to these movies that are coming out at this particular time. So you got to make sure that these shows hit before the films comes out.
Yep.
And so it's like, oh, wow. You know, and then like shows like WandaVision, there's a lot of visual effects in that show.
Yeah.
Like special effects and everything. Like this isn't just a, you know, this isn't the Captain America one. Exactly.
Yeah.
And so there's a ton of content and a ton of work that they have to do. And, you know, crunching in this environment, not making enough money, not having. So that what's going to happen is you're going to get sick because you're working all the time. You don't have the time to rest. You're going to get sick, but you can't stay at home because you're like, I got to finish this thing. It just keeps going. And what happens is burnout, which is what we talked about in the beginning of the cast. You would get burnt out. And a lot of people will come up, end up leaving, or, you know, just having just bad health problems, and it just, there's no win there. And what happens is those people get replaced with new people who don't know. They're just like, oh, this is Marvel. This is great. I'm going to be working on some amazing things. And then you get stuck, and it's like, yeah, it just keeps going. And Marvel keeps making money.
Yeah.
It just keeps making money, you know?
Yeah.
And to also put a, you know, to make people understand a little bit more, Marvel is owned by Disney. So think about all the things we were talking about previously. This applies. So yeah, the fact that they're unionizing, I hope they unionize and then I hope they strike. I hope they strike. Disney, Marvel does not want this to happen, obviously.
Nope.
And because it gives them power. It gives them power, negotiating power. But they need it. And same thing to animators working on, because I was reading about that too. With Sony and different places, mm-hmm. you know, there's this whole, and we're not going to get into it because we're coming up on our time, but this whole thing that happened with Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse or Across the Spider-Verse and how all the different types of animation, some things had to be redone and there was crunch there too. You know what I'm saying? And the only bright spot I saw was like with the Ninja Turtles film that came out recently, which is great, that the animators were, they were saying that the animators were, all the animation that was done in that film, it was done in a way that made it okay for the animators. They didn't have to burn and like, you know, obviously you're going to have some long nights here or there, but it wasn't to the detriment of the crew, you know? So at least that someone is doing it right. But a lot of people, this is the industries that you're in, the creative industries, people aren't getting paid enough. They're working way too much, too hard for too long, and they're tired of it. So everyone is striking from... Yep. You know, from the creative side all the way down to UPS, which is interesting because UPS, they didn't even get the strike because the people above them are smart. They were like, hey, y'all want more money? We got you. $49 an hour. There you go. Yep. You guys are making a goofy amount of money now for even part-time. I think it's $25 an hour. So like UPS is like, we cannot have you striking. So here you go.
You can't, because not in the world that we live in right now, not this post-COVID world, where everything has to be delivered. I just slight, not detour, but I remember seeing again, somebody posting. So there are so many people who are out here who are just so anti-union and anti-strike. And they, for some reason, think everybody is greedy. And I'm like, no, they're not. It's a little bit unfair, because I remember seeing a UPS worker posting about the strike. They're like, we're getting ready to strike. You know, we're going to do it. Da-da-da. This is how much money. This is how much money I make. This is how much money I made 10 years ago. There's no reason as to why I'm still doing the same job 10 years older, and I can't ask for more money. It doesn't make any sense. It's like, I am older, and this is a physical job, and I've been doing the job. I do the job well. I have more responsibilities now in my job. More things are expected of me. I deserve a raise. Like, you cannot sit there and just do a job and then just be happy. Like, just think for yourself that you should never get a raise. Why are people like that? Like, why are people like, they say, oh, you know, you work for McDonald's, you shouldn't get being paid X, Y, and Z. Like, I don't really understand why that hurts you so much that a person from McDonald's could make, you know, $12 an hour. Like, it's fine.
It's a really goofy way of living. Because if those people stopped, if everyone at UPS stopped, if everyone at McDonald's stopped, if everyone at any of these places that you say that they shouldn't be paid however much they should be paid stops, your world goes upside down.
Yeah.
Like, we saw that with the pandemic. We saw how valuable people working at grocery stores were, people working at, you know, delivering food was. We saw that. And them asking to just to be able to survive, because they could be like you and be like, you know what? I don't want to work at McDonald's because I should be getting a better, like, I need a better job.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it doesn't matter that I like to cook.
Yeah. You know,
it doesn't matter that I like to, I actually like being a waitress. It doesn't matter that I like doing these things. I'm just going to go get a better job. So let someone else have it. And since you don't want to do it and no one else wants to do this, this job just fades away.
Vanishes.
And then, and you're stuck. You're stuck. And they don't realize it until it happens. It's like, you're stuck. The things that you think are just mundane, doesn't require a lot of thought, et cetera, et cetera. You can't do it. You won't do it. And you need these people, because all of you use these. The reason why you're complaining so much is you use this. You don't want the strike.
Exactly.
And UPS delivers more than just like TVs during Christmas. They deliver medication.
Yes.
I have family members who get FedEx, UPS, and some of the other carriers. I have family members who get medication. Needed medication is delivered to them.
Yep.
So this isn't like a small ask that, hey, since I'm doing something important,
exactly,
can I get enough money to live? Because I'll keep doing the job. Obviously, the dude who's doing it for 10 years enjoys the job, or he would have went somewhere else. It's not like he couldn't be a carrier at another company.
Right.
There's plenty.
Exactly.
You feel me? So like, the fact that he enjoy, like, pay him then. That's the worker you want to pay. Like, that's
You want to keep the guy. You want to keep the people who are doing a good job. Like, I mean, it really blows me, because I'm sitting here not understanding why they're like, oh, you know, you shouldn't get paid. Do you want horrible employees that get, you know what I mean? Like, reward people for doing a good job. That is what I will never understand. You found good. It's never easy to find good people. You have good employees. Keep them. And make sure that they're happy. If it's not just salary, then you make sure that they have all types of benefits that make them happy. There's so many things that you can give to employees that make their, you know, salary much better, and that you get at a discount. Like, we've talked about this a long time ago, but like, insurance doesn't, life insurance is one of the cheapest things that a company can offer.
Yeah.
Life insurance is actually a very, very cheap thing, because, you know, not everybody is just keeling over and dying. Okay. It's something that that many jobs never have to pay out. So it's so cheap. But the point is that it's offered. That is part of your benefit package, because if you do have loved ones and you do unexpectedly, you know, bite the you know, get a chair upside the head. I don't know. Like, if something happens.
Get out of my head. I was thinking that.
Ha ha ha.
We're never gonna let it go.
Facts. Yeah, if you catch a random chair, you know, and you clock out, then it's good to have that money. But yeah, there's a lot of things that people, you know, and you know, I'll end it on this. There's a lot of people things that people complain about that they shouldn't complain about.
Yeah.
Because it directly affects them. And that's just on a selfish side. I'm not even thinking about, like, you know, being a freaking human. I'm just saying on a selfish side, if I was mad selfish, I still would shut up because these things help me.
Yeah.
These things help. They help you. Yeah. Shut up.
Yeah.
Let them get their money.
Don't be a hater.
This idea, like,
And
like, because then you think about it, like, we see the strikes happening. And this is a good example. The strikes are happening. And someone else is like, oh, we should strike too. And then someone else is like, yeah, we should join you. And then what happens is all these things are having an effect, a positive effect.
Yeah.
They're able to change things because people are joining in solidarity.
Yeah.
I think some of the writers on the, you know, striking joined with some of the people on the service side. Mm-hmm. It's totally two different industries, but they were picketing in the same area. And it's like, oh, look, we could actually make a difference that can benefit everybody, even the people that comes after us, if we just join up and shut up. Why are you defending the people who are making the most money?
Thank you.
Do very little. Why?
Little.
If any people you want to say, like, hey, you shouldn't be complaining about money, or you shouldn't get it, are the people who are making millions of dollars who aren't doing a lot of work.
Right.
They aren't.
They're not the ones crunching. Like,
they're not. Overseeing something, I understand you have to have an eye for things. So I'm not saying you're not talented.
But yeah, never seen that.
You aren't spending 18-hour days.
Yeah.
Like, correcting, you know, still frames or whatever the case may be. You're not doing any of this.
Yeah.
You have good health insurance. Like,
yeah.
Anyways, that is our show for today.
For sure.
Thank you guys for hanging out with us and checking out the Gamecast. We appreciate you. If you're listening on YouTube, feel free to subscribe, hit that notification bell so you're up on all the new content. If you're listening on Spotify and, you know, actually, I meant to say this earlier. Steezer, I think, is going to be no more in the next few weeks. I got an email about them. They're shutting down. Stitcher, sorry. Stitcher is going away. They're going to be rolling into, or most of the web pages that are attached to Stitcher is going to be rolled into their sister app, Pandora. So if you listen to us on Stitcher, know that you can actually go to, I believe you'll be able to go to Pandora to listen.
Yeah.
But they're going to be ending operations on August 29th. So you won't be able to access our show on the Stitcher app anymore. So just for folks to know, you can't listen to us there after that transition. But you should be able to go to Pandora. You should be able to go to Pandora or I want to say Sirius XM. There's some things you would have to do to kind of tweak that so your feed will automatically transition over outside of Pandora. But it's all, if you're subscribed to Stitcher, you should be getting these emails anyways, and they'll tell you kind of how to work it. But I just want to let you guys know so you're not like, oh, man, you're not putting up episodes anywhere. No, it's not us. It's just things that happen. But the other places, you know, Google Podcasts and stuff like that is still up. So definitely add us to your RSS feeds there. And we'll be back with some more episodes. Hopefully no one else is catching a chair to the face. But if they are, we will talk about it.
We'll definitely talk about it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's it, y'all. Wash your faces and your hands and your butts and stuff. Be kind. Wear your mask if necessary. You know, just do those things. Get your COVID boosters and all that stuff. And go buy some shirts. That's it, y'all. Bye-bye.